Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together.
If you're trying to work through grief, was I forgive. And if it doesn't come to your mind, just keep writing the words, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. And then all of a sudden you'll think of a name and it'll come out and then you'll be able to start writing. So really it's just to engage pen to paper or fingers to keyboard and just keep writing the same sentence over and over, because sometimes your brain is just chug, 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 right? And then it's starting to go. So just prime the pump, keep going, keep writing.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm so glad you're here with us today because we have an amazing guest with us, Holly Williams. Holly is an email strategist and conversion copywriter for purpose-driven entrepreneurs and online businesses. She specializes in creating brand connections through email marketing and believes that customer conversations lead to higher conversions. Holly also loves to help simplify email marketing for business owners using her story flow method. She teaches individuals how to take any story from their daily life and turn it into high-converting sales email. Holly lives in Canada with her 3 children, and she is an award-winning novelist and former television producer. Holly brings a unique perspective of storytelling to brand selling. Thank you so much for being here today, Holly. It is such a pleasure to have you, and I would love for you to just dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Thank you, Dr. C. I'm very excited to be here on your show. I have kind of a little bit of an interesting journey in the sense that I actually started because I wrote an award-winning novel, and I won this package on getting it published and everything. So I had to figure out how to market myself. And I ended up in a marketing course. And in this course, a lot of people were also, you know, launching their website or different products. And I was kind of reading through it and I was like, I think that could be written better towards the audience. And so I just kind of started playing around with that. And then I started getting requests for people to have me do their work. So then I thought, well, this is something that could be lucrative. So maybe I'll just invest in a course. And I took the Copy Hackers course, which I absolutely recommend for people to take if they're looking to do copywriting. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of got started. And I actually worked for five years part-time or full-time at my job and did this very part-time. So I did a very, very slow grow. And then I went down to part-time and I did that for 2 years. And then about a year and a half ago, I went full time. So one of the great things about your show is talking about how the entrepreneurial journey is different. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was very terrifying to say I was going to go all in on myself. And I know I love those stories that people are like, throw caution to the wind, I'm going all in. That is not my story at all. I have 3 children. I went through a divorce during that period of time as well. So there was a lot of stability that I needed in my life before I could leap out fully and do that. And so I just want to encourage women out there who are maybe doing something and they're thinking, oh, I'm not like everybody else who's, you know, they're in the full-time mode of working online. You can be very successful doing it as working full-time and having something that you're growing slowly, mm-hmm. and then part-time. And then when you finally do take the leap.
I love that. And I love your transparency about it too, because you're right. Everybody's is so different. And I just had this conversation recently with somebody who's working full time, but they're starting their business part time. And I think it's really important to highlight there is no right or wrong way. And a lot of people do jump in. I jumped in. I had no idea what I was doing like 6 years ago, to be quite transparent, but I was able to realize, okay, well, I had to get a part-time job to get health insurance and like all these other factors to really navigate that road. But I love that you did take it step by step and you were very focused on, okay, well, I need the stability. You have 3 children. That's mm-hmm. a lot of energy and moments to really focus in on, but being able to really thrive once you were able to build that foundation step by step. And I think that's a really important factor.
Yeah. And I have something that I think is really important maybe for your listeners is some of the steps I took in order to do that is I worked with a business coach and I said, okay, she's like, all right, what's stopping you from pulling the trigger here?
Yeah.
And when we really looked at it, it was just a sense of safety. And she's like, okay, well, what determines safety for you? And I was like, okay, well, I want to have some clients so that I know that I have clients. And then I want to know that I have savings. That was a really big thing for me. So she's like, all right, let's set a goal. So we set a goal of 6 months and I hit it in 5. So then I was able to give my notice and then walk away from my part-time job. So just realizing that you need to have a plan and it's totally okay to take your time. I had, I had gone through a divorce. I had children who were struggling, you know, with the fallout of that. And they're my number one priority. So I wasn't looking to like, oh, I'm going to build all these products and I'm going to scale and I'm going to do all these amazing things. No, I wanted to just have a job that was flexible, that if they needed to just take a day from school, I could sit with them. That was it. That was my goal during that time. So you can build a very great lifestyle business for yourself. And then you can also build a really amazing scaled business that services a lot of people, and you can hire a team and really impact the financial life of the people that you're hiring because they are often on the same entrepreneurial journey that you are on and wanting that time freedom. So every journey is possible.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And I love that you really did focus in on what worked best for you. But you're right, people can do it however they want. There is no right or wrong way. It's just understanding what's going to be best. And as you mentioned too, your children were your top priority, rightfully so. Make sure they were okay. And then working on the business and growing it. And I'm really curious because I know you talked about being an award-winning novelist and your background in storytelling as a novelist and a television producer. How did that influence your approach to email marketing and conversion copywriting?
Yeah, well, that's such a great question. I found that as I started to experiment with email copywriting, that the story-driven ones really connected people to the product really quickly and grew the brand very quickly. So different companies that I worked for, I would insert storytelling. Sometimes if there was a personal brand, it would be a personal story. Other times customer stories. But we just found that the email responses were better, higher. And then the products, the sales would go up, of course. But what I found is that as I was working with, you know, smaller brands or personal brands, they became excited. The bosses that I was working with, the CEOs, they're like, can you teach me how to do this? Like, I really like this. Mm-hmm. So that kind of formed into being invited to a workshop. And I explained what I call my story flow method. And it had this huge response from the workshop at the conference. It was voted the best workshop there, which I was very surprised about because, you know, it's something you do so naturally that you don't realize is this like huge change for other people.
Yeah.
So I teach this method on how to write really powerful emails using your story and how it can become a very high converting sales email for yourself.
Oh, I love it. And I love how it just like kind of transformed from that. But what led you to specialize in email marketing and how do you believe it can effectively create brand connections?
Yeah. So I think the reason that I'm so good at email marketing is because I love to connect one-on-one with people. I enjoy being in a group, but usually when I'm in a group, I just find a couple of people to really connect with. And email marketing is like that. You're emailing like hundreds, sometimes thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. And the real question is can I connect to that one person? And, you know, we've all done our brand personas, right? And, you know, oh, it's this person, they're this old. And sometimes you can kind of get lost in that because you're thinking like, how do I talk to this person directly? And what I found is that we all, as human beings, have all had incredible emotional experiences.
Right.
So if you can connect with them on an emotional level based on emotion, they can actually see the transparency of your brand because we're not trying to manipulate them with emotion. We're introducing them to persuasion. And a lot of people feel really afraid of using persuasion because they think, oh no, I'm going to be this icky salesman who's trying to get you to buy the car. Mm-hmm. And the truth is persuasion, really good persuasion, brings you to a decision point. It opens your eyes to what other possibilities are out there. It helps identify where you might be stuck in your thinking. And then it brings you to a decision point. Mm-hmm. It's not pushing you over the line. That's manipulation, right?
Yeah.
But good persuasion is going to bring you right up to the moment of saying, do I need this or don't I? Am I ready for this change? Or am I ready to, or do I want to just stay where I'm at. And that's what really good persuasion does. So when you can connect on an emotional level and take people on an emotional journey, they come to a decision point and they decide, am I ready to take the next step? And so that's what I love about email marketing.
I love it because, you know, I'm not big on email marketing. So I'm like, I need all the help I can get.
Well, that's awesome. We will do a story flow method exercise in a little bit here and you will get over the fear of it.
Perfect. But since we are talking about the story flow method, I would love for you to explain what that is. I know that's a big product right now that you've just launched, but if you can explain what it is and how it really helps business owners turn those personal stories into high converting sales emails.
Yeah, absolutely. So it really just absolutely follows the word story flow. So flow is an accurate acronym. So we start with a story and it can be literally any story in your life. A lot of times when I explain this concept, people are thinking of like this really big life-changing moment. And some of my most popular emails are like, you know, mismatched socks in the from the laundry pile, you know? Yeah. So it can be literally any story that you have. So once you've identified, the flow part of it, then it's really easy to pick out what story you want to use. So start with the story and then we go to F, which is feeling. What do you want your reader to feel at the end of the email? So you can start it with confusion and then bring it to a place of hope. You could start it with like, I'm planting my flag in the ground, you know, get on your soapbox, and you want them to be motivated and feeling fierce like you do. So you just have to identify what's the feeling you want them to have at the end of the email. Then the next letter is L, which is learn. What do you want them to learn? Typically, that is your offer. What do you want them to know about your offer? What do you want them to understand about your offer? So if you're a coach, let's say, then you want them to understand that you do one-on-one coaching or group coaching, or you have a mastermind or a course, right? Then with O, it's you bring them to a decision point, or what I call an option, O for option. Mm-hmm. So what is the decision point? We want it to be very clear. We want it to be bold. We want them to just have a clear understanding what's the next step. A lot of times, especially women, right, business owners are very hesitant in their copy. And it almost comes across like, hey, sort of, kind of, could you maybe look at my offer? We don't want to do that. We want to be very clear because clarity is kindness to people. And we want to have a very clear call to action, like join today, right?
Yeah.
And then W is just for wow. And there's a lot of little ways that you can wow your audience with your email. Sometimes that can be just, you know, putting in some fun emojis, or that can be adding in a GIF, that could be vulnerability. It can be a really great way to wow people. So wow is kind of like the icing on the top after you've baked the whole cake. So that's the story flow method. And let's give an example now. So I'll just walk you through it. This is the exact same thing I do with my clients all the time. So can you tell me what product do you have available that you sell people?
Solar.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell me about solar. What is that?
Well, solar helps the homeowner with electricity efficiency. You're able to reduce your monthly payment and be able to get the resource from the sun right to empower your house.
Okay, great. And so do you do consulting on that? Is there a product? Is there solar panels? Like what in particular do you sell as a product?
Yeah, so we sell it all. We have the solar panels, we have electric car chargers, batteries, power walls, anything to make a home more efficient energy-wise, we do have. So we sell it all.
Okay, great. So let's take solar panels as an example. And what is a typical objection that people have to solar panels? Is it just that it costs too much? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So now let's take a look at a story from your life. And it can be any story at all.
Like around money or
no, it could be like literally any story. If it's, it could be about your coffee in the morning, anything. I'll show you how to, you can take any story and sell your solar panels with it.
Okay. Let's do my vitamins. Every morning I take my vitamins, I drink them, and get me going for the day.
Okay, great. So I would start off the email something like, where are my vitamins? I was looking all over the kitchen because we had just come back from a trip, couldn't find my vitamins. These are essential for my life. I need my vitamin C, vitamin B, vitamin D. Absolutely have to have them because without them, I can't fully function. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you're lost looking for something that's really important, really vital so that you can run on your fullest battery and fullest potential? Well, your house is actually like that. Your life is actually like that because without solar panels in your home, you can be a little bit lost in the whole, how do I function in my home well? With solar panels, you can revitalize yourself just like vitamins. You can give yourself energy that you need just like vitamins. You can do this just like vitamins. So solar panels are the vitamin to your home. Get your vitamins. You can get one today or take a look at our newest ones on sale today. So there you go. Obviously.
Oh my God, that's perfect for my next reel.
Right. Yeah. So obviously. Yeah. And this is it. It's not just email marketing. You can do story flow method for all sorts of sales, Instagram, everything. But the point there, right? You could really finesse that email. You could really talk about how there's a lot of people who don't even use vitamins because they don't think it's actually beneficial. But studies have shown that it like helps you. So there's a lot of ways you can take that story. And I mean, this is off the top of our head right now, right? Yeah. You can see, right, how you can take any story and match it to your product. Because what we want to do is we want to show the emotion of it, which is that this is an empowering product. So the emotion that we chose to go with is empowerment. We want people to feel empowered that they're doing the right thing for their home, for their energy bill, all of those things. Mm-hmm. So anybody can take this method and take their story. And if you can just take that initial story, match it to the feeling you want your audience to have, tell them what they're going to learn, a very clear thing around your product. Oh, bring them to a decision point, which our call to action was like, click here to look at these ones on sale. And then wow can just be, you know, you can have some great pictures in there. You could have like sun emojis throughout the email, pointing out some of the different benefits. But when you can kind of get down the bones of that and you can start to practice it, then all of a sudden selling becomes really, really natural in any conversation. So that's the power of the story flow method.
Oh my gosh, I love it. And I love the example too. It just got some wheels turning just now.
Well, it's really funny. Like, okay, so that's a product I haven't worked with before, right? So I'm literally doing that off the top of my head. But I've been in workshops where people just get a kick out of like this one girl gave me like this hugely traumatic story. And you could tell like she has been around the block and like did not want to hear any BS from anybody. So she gave me like this traumatic story and I literally turned it into this email and she was like floored. And it was just an incredible experience. But yeah, sometimes I put on the spot.
You did great. You did great. No, because there's a lot of misconceptions about solar and everything, but it's being able to bridge it. And I love that.
So right there, right? There's a great email right there. There's a lot of misconceptions. So if you could say, I didn't want to watch this Netflix show. You know, I saw the video front of it and it looked like this horrible TV show. But now I'm hooked. Now I'm on episode 7 because I actually got into it. The story is nothing what I thought. I had all these misconceptions about it. Hey, you ever wondered about solar panels? Have you ever thought this? And maybe you put a common misconception. But here's the truth. You know nothing about solar panels. I'm here to tell you everything about it. And the first step is to get educated on this webinar, you know, and send them down that path.
Oh my gosh.
Right? So you can see how, right? Storytelling is when you can do that, you initially connect. It's the emotion we're connecting to, right? So it's like the misconception. Well, we've all been there where we've judged a book by a cover. We've all felt that superiority in our thinking. And then we've all been humbled by the actual like engaging with it. So it's like, oh, I can take somebody on that journey and make them realize like, oh, the way that I see this product could be totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's so true. And I think because there's a lot of common like misconceptions about email marketing or storytelling in so many capacities, especially for purpose-driven business owners that you work with and entrepreneurs. Yeah. But I'm curious, what are some of the common challenges that those individuals, those entrepreneurs and online businesses face when it comes to email marketing, and how do you help them overcome those challenges?
Yeah, well, the first one would be fear, like just having one, an email list, because social media, you can get immediate feedback, right? So it feels like, oh yeah, this is really great. But there's three reasons I always tell clients that they need their email list. And the first one is, of course, the one that's the drum that's been beaten to death is that you don't own any of your content on social media, right? Okay. So if you have followers following that, if the social media platform goes away tomorrow, like you've lost your entire customer audience, right? So you want to transfer them onto an email list, because then you can have ownership of that list and you can determine how you're going to engage with them. Right. Second thing is social media only pushes out to like 20 to 30% of your follower list. So you could have 100,000 people on your list, but they're not all seeing your message. Mm-hmm. With email marketing, you have way higher chance of getting your message in front of them, because it'll go into their inbox, or it may go into their promotions tab, but they will consistently see your name once a week. Whereas in Instagram, you might, if you have a viral post, all of a sudden you're getting in front of their face again. They're like, oh yeah, I follow this person, you know, and then you disappear again for 3 months. Whereas email, you have that consistency of showing up. And then the third reason is that in email marketing, you can segment your audience. So let's say you're a coach, and you have a one-on-one coaching, and you have masterminds, and you have a high ticket item. Mm-hmm. So you can actually segment people who are interested in all three of those things, so that when you are doing a push for your mastermind, you can send only to those who are interested in the mastermind. So already your chances have gone up that sales will happen, and you're talking to an audience who actually wants to hear it, and you're not going to lose or unsubscribe people. That does not happen with social media. You do not have the ability to segment your audience so that certain people only get certain messages. So at times, somebody who's following you could all of a sudden see a very viral post about a coaching thing you're doing or a launch that's currently happening. And they might say, you know what, I don't need any of this content anymore, and unfollow you. So the email marketing has the power to really allow your business to grow and develop in a very powerful way. So fear is the biggest reason, and people want to maybe rely on social media and they're like, I'm fine, I'm selling on social. But you really want to take that and move it into your email list. And so one of the most powerful ways to do that, of course, is to give them a great lead magnet, right? And that is either, you know, a quick win, which is like, hey, download this guide, and like within 20 minutes, they put it into use, or is to invite them onto maybe a training or something like that, where it's very high value. They might be spending a little bit more time with you, but they're getting a lot out of it. So those are two things. And then another reason that maybe people are hesitant is they just don't know what to say. They think it needs, you know, a lot of people, they just want to like, can I just coach, you know, like, do I have to email people? Cause I'm just, my passion is coaching. Right. And so, I mean, with ChatGPT now, there's so much you can do in terms of just being able to come up with great stories, be able to even have them write your email. If you can give ChatGPT even a couple of things, you can train it. You say, you're an expert copywriter. Your first job right now is to learn the voice of so-and-so, which would be your name. And then you feed them a couple of emails that you've written and say, summarize my tone. And can you write an email about this product based on this tone? And then you get a great first draft, right? And then you can just tweak it and add in some of your own flavor. So there's huge ways that you can just save yourself time. And there's really no excuse any longer. Now that we have ChatGPT, there's no excuse anymore. You can literally hop on there and do your emails. And it takes minutes, really. Like once, it'll take a little bit to set up ChatGPT to really know your voice. But once you have that dialed in, you can write out 4 emails for the month very, very quickly, and then pull your social media information out of that as well. So you're, you know, leveraging your time. But then the other thing it allows you to do is just to start getting comfortable with email marketing, just putting your name out there. Because the truth is with email marketing, the more emails you send, the more consistent and higher your income will grow. So once a week, your emails, you can expect, if you've got a pretty engaged list, you can start to expect consistent income. Mm-hmm. Sending emails 2 a week, you'll see your income jump, right? 3 to 5 times a week, you'll see your income jump. So just get started on it.
That's good advice. And I mean, I know you have worked with so many different people, so many clients, entrepreneurs, business owners. Can you share just one success story of a client who saw those significant results you're talking about and implementing those strategies for email marketing?
Yeah. So I'll give you two because you know what? A lot of people aren't at the high scale where they've got a whole team putting in the, you know, a designer and all that stuff. So I was able to help create a 50K monthly funnel off of a product and an audience that we warmed up really, really well, and then use this email sequence. And we basically just keep using that email sequence. So 50K was the highest month and it performs quite well. It's definitely a five-figure funnel. So that was really, really exciting just to see the responses of that. But that was a company that I had worked for about a year. And so it really like dialed into the audience and what they wanted. But other success stories are, I'll share this one because it was really great. And I think that a lot of people who are maybe at the beginner stage need to realize that starting email marketing, you're going to feel really uncomfortable sending like two emails in a day or three. I make all of my clients send three emails or more on their final day of their launch. And you'll feel really uncomfortable. So I had one client who, it was Black Friday. She had this coaching thing. She wanted 15 people in it. She was like, I think I'll get like three. And I'm like, no, we're getting 15. So I had a Black Friday special and she'd signed up for it. And we ended up selling out, I think, 12 of her 15 spots. And it was really neat because day one, she had the three people sign up right away. And then they slowly trickled through. And then on the last day, she got the rest coming in. She's like, I wouldn't have got those last three sales unless you had forced me to hit the send button on that last one. And I'm like, I know, because you need to, you know, all of us sit on the fence, all of us, right? So you just need to give that little reminder. And we don't want to be the thing that passes by when somebody really has a desire to work with you and they've just been busy or they've been distracted by something else. So having the confidence to do that. So I think it's important to realize, especially when you're running a business or you're in a startup mode, just don't get caught up in the headlines of like 10K months. I've worked on a lot of businesses. I've worked on a lot of launches. There's a lot of hype out there. People that, you know what, sometimes people are only telling this really 1 month fantastical story. They're not telling that, you know, most months that's not what they're producing. So don't get caught up in it. Just pick your goals, work towards them, and just continue to optimize what you're doing.
I love it. And I appreciate those stories because I think a lot of people do get caught up in the hype. And you're right. You don't always know what's behind the scenes of what's really happening unless they're showing you their bank statements and things along those lines.
Well, and sometimes you're hitting the market at like just the right moment. Like you just, sometimes some people just see a trend and hop on it and they just get it before anybody else. And they have this huge explosion and that's amazing. And that's awesome. But consistency is what you're looking for with people who are kind of giving those income statements and stuff. And just taking a look at it. And I think maybe another piece of advice I could give to people who are starting out is pick one or two people to follow and then shut the rest of the noise off. Because if you'll get caught up in shiny object syndrome, right? And that's what good marketing will do. Good marketing will make you feel like, oh, maybe I should be doing that thing over there. Stop it. No, follow one or two people. They'll have a system and one that kind of aligns with your values and just follow what they're saying. Until you can start to see your success and re-examine if that's the path you want to continue down. But yeah, good marketing is going to give you shiny out.
I've been there. I'm like, oh, I want to do this and this and this.
Right. Yep.
And then I had to come back down. The reality set in. And you know, I think too, because there's so many things we can see, it can get overwhelming and it really goes back to simplifying. And I know that's something that you really stress too, is simplifying email marketing efforts. And what are some of the practical tips you can offer for streamlining that process?
Yeah. So I would think that the time that you're going to do your social media marketing, if that's something you're actually used to doing more of before email marketing, then I would just add an extra half hour of the time. And then when you're working out your social media stories, ask yourself, hey, how can I turn this into a little bit of an email? There's no problem, zero problem with taking the same story you put on Instagram and putting it in an email and maybe just adding like a detail or two more. That's what it does to get you started and to get your feet wet in it. Do it. I've also done emails or given the advice for some people who just love their Instagram is it's okay to send an email once a week that says, hey, if you missed my Instagram posts, that's where I have all my value. Here's my post on this. And just link to your Instagram posts and then give them one extra tip so that the email feels a little bit more valuable, not just driving people to Instagram, but just something a little personal, a little bit more valuable that would help them. And that's it. Like, do not complicate this for yourself, right? So the email that I sent out this week, my story in it was very simple. It was three or four lines. It was, I tried lavender lemonade for the first time. Two pumps of lavender syrup in lemonade. Life changing. That was it. That was my story. And then I switched to the product, right? Which was, have you ever been, you know, trying something new and it just surprised you? Then I took them on a journey of like elements of surprise of things, right? So these do not have to be long stories. You don't have to do a Dear Diary entry.
And I think that's important. When I first started doing email marketing, when I first started my business 6 years ago now, I was like, oh, well, I have to write this like novel. And it was like, no. Like, keep it simple, keep it short, because I know I don't like reading long paragraphs of like an email, because then I get lost in it. But something so simple, but catchy. And also it goes back to flow, the story flow method.
Yes. Yeah.
Being able to really touch on each element can really help foster that. And I love that you've created it because it does just make things so simple in like my mind, at least, but I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, because we tend to overcomplicate what we're afraid of doing, right? Mm-hmm. We think it's a lot bigger and it's not. And the other thing too, is just start following a couple of people who have really good emails, right? Like businesses who are doing well in your niche, they will have copywriters writing their email. Pay attention to it. Look at how they're spacing things, even formatting, right? Like a lot of people will write long paragraphs. No, two sentences to a line. We want people to read through the email, scan their eyes down it, right? And read to the next line. Right. So just paying attention to those little details can teach you a lot.
Yeah, I'm learning so much.
Good.
I love it. And just as an email strategist, what advice would you give someone who is starting out with email marketing and looking to make an impactful meaning with what they're saying, what they're writing when it comes to campaigns?
Yeah. So your campaign, typically when you're doing a campaign, it centers around a big idea, right? So I just wrote one for a lady and it was become the most influential woman in the room. Then all of your content, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks out is going to have elements of that in there, right? How do you become influential? What does influence look like? How do you define influence? What are the steps to becoming influential? What are the hurdles? You know, like you've got all of these ideas. So then when you're writing a sales campaign, it can really be addressing number one, the objections that are coming up for individuals. You said, what is the practical tip? The practical tip is talk to your customer. Get on the phone, get on a Zoom call and ask them, even if you're about to launch something that's brand new, talk to somebody who's your ideal prospect and say, okay, this is the product I'm pitching. What seems interesting to you? What kind of questions do you have around this? If I said it was $9,000, why would you not want to join besides price, right? Like make it really outlandish. And then you start to hear some objections, right? Mm-hmm. What if I made it $97? Why would you want to join? What would make it a no-brainer to join? So questions like that. So once you hear what the objections are of people, when you hear what they're really like about it, you know how to kind of emphasize your messages. You know what to put in your emails to help them get over the hurdle. And a great tip here is your PS line should be something to help people get over a hurdle or an obstacle. Yeah.
I love that. Puts it in perspective. Very simple, easy.
Yeah.
To the point, right?
Yeah.
And I know not everything is so easy and to the point, but what are some of the obstacles you've had to overcome in building your business?
Yeah. So I did mention my divorce. And so that was extremely challenging because it was a very unhealthy situation that I kind of left with two garbage bags type of thing and my kids in a car. So there was a lot of grief and I had to, I literally felt like I was crawling through my days. And so one of the obstacles was, is actually like being honest with my clients and saying, I'm going through this and I really love your company, but I don't think I can hit the delivery dates. I think I'm going to need 3 or 4 more days to get things done, because there's just some days that I'm sitting down and crying. I totally thought people were going to fire me over that. And nobody did. Everybody's very gracious. There was maybe 1 or 2 people who were like, what can you deliver to me? And we'll bring on a second copywriter to do these other pieces. Mm-hmm. So that was really amazing to me, because I think I blew this thing up in my mind that like, you're already feeling so down because you failed at marriage. So you just think, I failed at everything. No one, you know, but a lot of people saw my talent, and a lot of people, and I had done excellent work. That's the other thing, is just always do excellent work. Mm-hmm. Because then people will make allowances for your life if they're able to, because I mean, obviously you're on a deadline when you're doing some different things, but I had some really just incredible clients to work with who were very gracious to me. So that was definitely a hurdle. The other thing is that their copywriting is a very, very complex thing. Like once you get into really building funnels and really being a high performing funnel, there's, you need to know math, you need to know, you know, it's very data driven. You need to be paying attention to a lot of things. It can really hit your self-esteem hard because you feel like, I don't know all these things. And so that was something that kind of paralyzed me for a while, is like, I can maybe only get them these great results. And I felt this huge responsibility. You know, when people start paying you a lot of money, you have a huge, you feel like, I want them to see ROI on every single penny and then triple that, right?
Yeah.
So just leaning into that and realizing that I needed to grow and I needed to do the work of getting that knowledge, and then admitting when I didn't have it, and just having humility. I think I was actually talking with this guy. He does like multi-million dollar business, which was fun to hang around him, but I wouldn't want to be in that sphere because it's very high pressure. But he said something to me that's always stuck with me. And he says, more business deals are killed due to ego than anything else. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's so many people I've wanted to just make their businesses grow and be prosperous and amazing. He's like, but they have so much ego, I can't work with them. Mm-hmm. So when you're, especially as a service provider, like I am as a copywriter, I think just checking your ego at the door. And I tell my clients that every time I give them work to edit, I say, I'm not attached to this. I'm here to serve you. I have no ego. If you hate the word, if you want to tell me like this sentence doesn't sound like me, I'm like, save us both time, be direct and tell me. I'm not here to defend my work and say, well, I need this so desperately. I'll defend the psychology principles. I'll defend the conversion principles that I'm representing, but I'm not going to be attached to my work here. This is about you looking your best, sounding your best, and getting a win-win for you in revenue and your customer for having their problem solved.
There's so many opportunities if you let other people help you, but also looking at it from a different way, because it can be so complex when we're so in it and we have this idea of what we want. And we're like, well, no, I don't want to stray from that. Like I've had to check my ego sometimes. Like my husband will be like, oh, Caroline, let's do this. I'm like, no, because I didn't come up with it.
Yeah. And you know, one of the best things that I tell new people all the time is to have a testing mindset, right? Mm-hmm. So when you get into like, once you've built your business to a certain stage and you're really getting into really optimizing your funnel, you're testing everything. Like you're testing every headline, you're testing subject lines, you're testing color buttons all the time. It's constant testing. So when I work with people, I say, let's just have a testing mindset about this. This is the first thing we're going to do. We're going to launch this. And if you can launch small and quick, that's great. Like get some feedback. There's some really great ways to do that. You know, even just with Facebook ads at $5 a day, you can just test some of the ideas. Yeah. Once you get there, you have to have a testing mindset. So develop it now, develop it while you're small, and just say, don't put all this emphasis on like, this is my idea. This is exactly how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Run it small, test it, and then take the feedback and then, you know, reshape it and test it again.
Exactly. Just like that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's easier when it's smaller versus like once it's larger, there's more eyes on you. But when you're able to be a smaller company, you're testing things out, you can make those mistakes early on so you don't make them a bigger mistake later on.
Yeah, that's so true. There's this one lady I wrote for brilliant lady. She was also a sailboat master. Like she like cool. had like was very highly certified in sailing. And she said, you know, a motorboat and a small sailboat, you can always pivot really quickly. But once you grow really big, like your pivots are going to take time. Like on companies that I've worked with where you're really trying to pivot something quickly, like quickly for that is like 6 months, you know, like to really move the boat in a big way. Like you can get a big win off of an email and bring in a bunch of revenue, but to really change some of these ideas to really create structure, there's like tech changes, design changes, there's a lot going on, there's a lot of moving pieces. So one of the things that's really brilliant is when you're small is you can pivot really quickly.
Yes, I will agree with that. Yeah. Just from all the pivots I've done in my businesses. I'm like, okay, nobody knows.
Yeah, I'll just be flexible. Let's just roll with it.
Exactly. And I know you've given so much insight and tips, but I would love to know maybe two or three tips that you can give entrepreneurs that are on this journey, whether it's in copywriting or just as a whole.
I think one thing is just to set a goal. Like it's really important to just set a goal. And even that, if that's a 90-day goal, no matter where you are in your life, right? Like if you're in that grief season, just set a goal. I did an exercise once and this lady had us write down all the things we had accomplished and then everything that had gone wrong in these 3-year periods over a 12 period time. Mm-hmm. And what it just helped you realize is like, oh, I actually accomplished a lot, even though my life was a total roller coaster. And then it made you realize my life is always going to be a total roller coaster. So just having a goal, like even if you've got like, oh, I'm moving right now, I'm doing this. Okay, still set a goal. You're going to still hit that goal or really come close to it. You're going to have forward movement towards that. Even if your life is a roller coaster, because it's always going to be a roller coaster. Just keep taking one step in front of the other. Yeah. The other piece of advice, I got this from a farmer, really brilliant businessman. He just said, if you can make 3 out of 5 good business decisions, he's like, you'll be a success. And that just helped me to let go of making sure that every decision was the right one and was perfect and was successful. He's like, no. He's like, at least 3 out of 5 decisions. If they're successful, you'll be successful. So that has really helped me. Yeah. And then the other thing I would say is that if you're finding yourself really stuck, like emotionally stuck, you try to work and you're feeling like, I can't do this. Everything's so hard. There's some grief in your life. Unexpressed grief will show up in your behavior, right? Mm-hmm. And you need to just get honest with yourself, whatever that is. If you're sad that a relationship doesn't work out, that your business isn't going the way it isn't, whatever, sit with a journal, go talk with a friend, do something, whatever is your style of coping with grief. Grief demands a witness. You need to sit and allow those thoughts out of your head. And then be able to just really step into the work, because I always find whenever I can't move, there's something that I just need to grieve over and just be sad and admit that I'm like, oh, I'm really sad. I think I'm failing here. As soon as I'm honest with that, like I know what to do. I know how to set my sights on something and just do it. And especially as a writer, that's what writer's block is talking about for me.
Interesting. You know, I appreciate your transparency. And I do think just being a former therapist, grief can show up in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. It's not just what we think of grief of somebody passing away or at the end of a relationship. It can be end of anything, no matter what it is. But I'm glad you touched on that, because I do think a lot of people don't always recognize that, because it's not on the forefront or something we kind of think about on a regular basis by any means. And hopefully we don't experience that on a regular basis by all means. But I think it's really understanding to listen to ourselves, get in tune with yourself so you can. But even the other examples you gave or tips of just the farmer giving you that advice, I think that's great advice, where 3 out of 5 times, because I mean, if you think about it, most businesses do fail like at first, and then you do something else or you tweak something and then it allows it to be successful. But I think it's looking at, there's so many different avenues you can go, but just trust yourself. And that's what I'm hearing too, is no matter what's going on in your life, address it, find out what's going on, and then be able to move forward. But we have to address it first and foremost so we can make those decisions that are going to be right. Is not every decision is perfect. I mean, I've made some interesting ones.
Well, you've become more impressive as we've talked. I've learned that you run a solar company and you're doing like podcasts, five podcasts a week. I mean, lady, you're awesome.
I didn't tell you half of it, but
Right. That's and you're pivoting all the time. So, I mean, that's impressive.
Keeps me on my toes.
Yeah.
I just want to do so much, but I feel like a lot of people do, but it's really staying in that zone of genius. And when it's right to pivot, when it's not, stay, keep going. But I think the biggest thing I've learned too is email marketing. There's so much to it when it comes to really telling a story, being a storyteller, because I feel like that's what business owners are in some form or fashion. It's just finding that channel. And I love that it really goes to email marketing because this is a struggle for me personally.
Yeah. And now do you feel like you've got a little bit more tools in your belt? Awesome.
That's great. I'm feeling motivated. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Let's see how I can do this, right?
Because I got called out the other day by a woman that said, you don't have an email list that's like X amount of people. I was like, no.
No.
I was like, okay, I get it. This is my sign from the universe. All good though, all good.
Yeah.
But what are some of the tools that you've been able to utilize when it building your business? So I know there's a lot of things that sometimes behind the curtain we don't always see, but what are some of the things that you've been able to utilize to help your business grow?
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. Okay. So I have ADHD and I get bored of everything so quickly. I'm like, this is the tool to solve everything. And, you know, after 3 weeks, I'm like, I'm over it. So the biggest thing I've done is I had a virtual assistant who's like held my feet to the fire to say like, no, Holly, we are staying with this. This is where everything's going. Like, I love your enthusiasm, but remember the goal. So that has been like, just, I wouldn't call her a tool. I'd call her asset. Absolutely. I think another tool that I have is, sounds funny, but it's my timer. So I sit down to write. And so this is actually, it might help some people. Other people, it terrifies them. But some of your best creativity, like creative juices, right? Your best juices come out when you're squeezed. So putting a time squeeze on yourself. Sometimes I just find, okay, 20 minutes is all you got. Write this. And because you're trying to beat the clock, all of a sudden it just engages something in you and you can write. So for some people who feel terrified by that, I typically say, hey, just find a couple prompts online for storytelling or whatever, put those out on a piece of paper and then just set your timer and go to it. And you'll be surprised actually what comes up. A lot of times people think they're stalled, and one actual practical writing exercise I've learned is, one example was like, if you're trying to work through grief, was I forgive. And if it doesn't come to your mind, just keep writing the words, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. And then all of a sudden you'll think of a name and it'll come out and then you'll be able to start writing. So really it's just to engage pen to paper or fingers to keyboard and just keep writing the same sentence over and over, because sometimes your brain is just chug, 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 right? And then it's starting to go. So just prime the pump, keep going, keep writing.
Well said, well said. And I've been so enjoying this conversation, Holly, but where can people find you, use your services? We're going to link everything below, but if you
wonderful. So yeah, just www.hollycwilliams.com. Said that like I was in the 90s and announcing the World Wide Web. And then instagram.com/TheHollyCWilliams. And that's a great place to hang out because I give away a lot of freebies. I have tons of tips on there. I'm constantly doing fun things on Instagram for people. And then my email list is at hollycwilliams.com. You'll want to get on there. I got great emails, and a lot of times I give away templates and just say, hey, copy this email.
There you go. Spoken from true copywriter herself, all the things you need right there.
Yes.
But thank you so much, Holly, for all your transparency of your journey, the ups, downs, everything in between, but especially what you're doing to help people tell their stories through email marketing and copywriting. I think it's really powerful and important. And now I'm ready to do it too.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway from today, and we'll see you on the next episode.